This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
New York made a powerful statement, not just for the people of New York, but the people all across this nation. We reached a new level of social justice.
He is, in fact, wants to impose one point of view on everybody, namely that there's only one sort of marriage and it's genderless. And if you don't accept it, then you're a bigot.
People of all faiths are welcome in this country. Our nation was founded on a principle of religious tolerance.
You see concern about Mormonism particularly strong among white evangelical Protestants. A little bit over a third, 34%, tell us they'd be less likely to back a candidate who was Mormon.
That faucet of forgiveness needs to be wide open because God's not stingy.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
Well, I guess it was late Friday night that the legislature in the state of New York finally did what apparently the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, had been hoping and planning and asking them to do for a long time. And a Republican-controlled legislature decided that same-sex marriage should be legal in the state of New York. Advocates for same-sex marriage, they think that this is a big, significant domino to fall, and others will follow in its train. Is that necessarily true? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 28th of June. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us to talk about the legalization of same-sex marriage in New York State. And right after that, we will remember, along with the rest of the church, early 3rd century Bishop of Lyon. Probably you know his name. He was a very busy man combating heresy in the earliest church, Irenaeus. Dr. Bill Weinrich will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Glad to be here.
I'm looking at a National Public Radio story in print, the headline, New York Gay Marriage Vote Expected to Ripple Nationally. One of the advocates for same-sex marriage quoted in the story says that each approval, like the one in New York, like this one, feeds off and contributes substantially to the next one. What's your reaction to that prediction?
I just wonder what that guy's smoking. I mean, honestly, that is the biggest fantasy thing I have ever heard. The truth is that the real trend is going the other way. The real trend is that the people do not want to redefine marriage. And by the way, let's just stop right here and not use the language of the advocates. They have not legalized same-sex marriage. They have not, any more than they have legalized square circles or changed the definition of pi to an even 3 to get rid of all the pesky decimal points. They have called something marriage that isn't marriage and cannot be marriage, okay? So they're legalizing their fantasy life is what they're trying to do here. And I, honestly, Todd, I'm hopping mad about this thing because what went on in New York State was a power play, pure and simple. There was no serious discussion about the issues. What will this mean to the state of New York? Is this a good idea or not a good idea? It was simply the biggest and most powerful politicians in the state of New York pushing their weight around, throwing lots of money around, making lots of promises, twisting lots of arms to get something passed by the simple majority that gives them the bare legal requirement, that satisfies the barest legal requirement to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. They couldn't care less what the people of New York think or what the people of New York actually want. So the idea that this is some kind of big domino and all the rest are going to just fall into place, I don't know what that guy's thinking. This is the last piece of low-hanging fruit, because 31 other states have marriage amendments to their constitution. This isn't even an option in those other states. And every time the people have had the chance to vote on a marriage, on a constitutional definition of marriage, the people have always consistently voted to keep marriage as it has always been, as the only thing it can be, the union of a man and a woman. So, you know, these gay activists are spinning their sound bites in their little echo chamber, trying to convince themselves they've done something significant.
I was reading from a fascinating, rather lengthy piece in the New York Times by Michael Barbaro, and he highlights the place of Governor Andrew Cuomo in the weeks leading up to this decision. What role did he play?
Well, Andrew Cuomo is simply revolting. I mean, first of all, he has this fantasy that by doing this, that's going to make him the next president. I'll tell you something. This is going to keep him from ever being president. He's going to be sorry he ever got himself into this. Yes, he's going to have a lot big donors, big gay donors, lots of the gay rights activists who have tons of money. Yeah, he's going to have all those people on his side. But the fact is, he is blowing away every other kind of constituency, and there are a lot of other constituencies within the Democratic Party who are not happy about this. In fact, the champion on the other side was a Ruben Diaz, a Democrat from the Bronx, and the halls of Albany were filled with black evangelicals, Hispanic Pentecostals, all of these people who are normally part of the Democratic coalition. They're hopping mad about it, and so the idea that that Andrew Cuomo is going to secure his political future by allowing himself to be purchased by a handful of big gay donors, I think that's completely mad. He's completely lost his mind.
One of the things that Ruben Diaz, you just mentioned, one of the things that he editorializes about, I think, National Review, is that the one who's really going to pay the price here is the Republican Party in New York.
Oh, no question about that. No question about that. I mean, you know, because where Cuomo got a lot of his money is from some big Wall Street people who, for whatever reason, have decided that this is their way of bringing the Republican Party into the 20th century. Now, why they think that, or 20th, did I say 20th? 21st century. I don't know what they're thinking, because the fact is marriage, natural marriage, traditional marriage, marriage without adjectives, marriage is the winning issue. Politicians who support same-sex marriage do not win unless they're in little safe enclaves, kind of districts, right? So if there's any contest at all, marriage is the winning side. Just like life, pro-life has become the winning issue. You know, Cuomo is just like his daddy. See, Mario Cuomo was the governor of New York who more or less invented the phrase, "I'm personally opposed to abortion, but I can't impose my views on anyone else." That's how he tried to thread that needle as a Catholic politician in New York, trying to get away with spitting in the eye of church's teaching. Andrew Cuomo is trying to pull off a similar kind of caper, and he thinks that he's not going to get punished for it, and I just think he's wrong. And I think that the legislators who voted in favor of redefining marriage, some of those guys are not going to be back. I don't know which ones, but I just feel real sure that some of the people of New York are going to throw those guys out.
Reading the New York Times piece, one gets the impression that the Catholic voice, or those bearers of the Catholic voice, I'm thinking here in particular about the New York Archdiocese, they were kind of late to the party or outmaneuvered by the governor and his contributors?
Well, you know, I can't speak to any of the political wranglings about this sort of thing, you know, so I wasn't there. And, you know, honestly, Todd, I'm so politically oblivious that I wouldn't be able to put two and two together as far as, you know, who's in charge of the backroom deals and all that kind of stuff. I find that kind of thing distasteful. So if the Archbishop wasn't there doing backroom deals, you know, I don't know what all that means. You know, I don't know who the Archbishop's men would be or whatever. But the fact is, Archbishop Dolan has been quite outspoken on the marriage issue. Catholic parishes have been quite outspoken on the marriage issues. I personally have received correspondence from people that I know in upstate New York who have been very actively lobbying their local senators and legislators and so on. And so I think they did quite a lot, actually. I think that's the New York Times trying to, trying to flex its muscles and make itself look bigger than it actually is, because, you know, there's absolutely no doubt where the Catholic Church stands on this, and I don't think Archbishop Dolan is anything remotely like a pushover or a fool. So I don't know where they're getting that or why they think they have to talk like that. But the fact is that a lot of the guys that had to be pressured, if I'm not mistaken, now I could be wrong about this, but the guys who had significant Catholic constituencies, you had to work on them pretty hard to get them to change their tune, because in fact they were getting a lot of correspondence and letters and postcards and phone calls and things from their Catholic constituents. So I think that's the New York Times just spinning. I don't know what they're spinning there.
With only about 30 seconds here, and I want to talk a little bit more about it on the other side of the break, the difference between Mario Cuomo and Andrew Cuomo is that Mario said, "I'm personally opposed," but it appears that Andrew Cuomo said, "I'm in favor of," but...
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Andrew Cuomo has decided that that he can, defy church teaching completely with impunity, and that he doesn't even have to go through the motions, of giving even a lame sort of assent to it. And I think he's going to find that he's wrong. I haven't heard any talk about this, whether somebody's going to, whether the Archbishop is going to pressure him. But in other dioceses, bishops have been more aggressive and forthcoming about trying to rein in some of these Catholic politicians than they have been in the past. And so I don't know if anything's forthcoming. If there's a love letter from Archbishop Dolan on Andrew Cuomo's desk, that's not something that I've heard. But I know that there have been times, plenty of times, when the bishops have made a big difference making that type of statement.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is our guest. We're talking about the legalization of same-sex marriage in New York State.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 28th of June. A few more minutes with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse on the legalization of same-sex marriage in New York State. Then we'll remember, along with the rest of the church, the late 2nd century, early 3rd century Bishop of Lyon, Irenaeus. Dr. Bill Weinrich of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Coming back to something you mentioned before the break, I know, Jennifer, that you probably would hesitate to give the Archbishop any advice in this regard, but I am interested in your opinion. What should he do with the New York State governor, who claims to be a Catholic, but, as you said before the break, is openly and rather flagrantly defying church teaching on this issue, in addition to that, living in the governor's mansion with a woman outside the confines of marriage?
Well, you know, part of the reason I would hesitate to tell the Archbishop what to do is that, for all I know, he may have some of these steps in motion. Okay, but the customary procedure is that the bishop, or the archbishop in this case, should have a private meeting with the person and explain to them and make sure 100% sure that they know what the church's teaching is and that they are in violation of it, and ask that they either repent of their behavior or stop calling themselves Catholic. And typically, the most prudent thing to do is to try to handle it privately without embarrassment, insofar as that's possible, and then take more public steps of some kind of public censure, including excommunication. But I have to say that a case like this, a case like Andrew Cuomo, I think shows just how hard it is to get kicked out of the Catholic Church. I mean, you really have to work at it to get kicked out of the Catholic Church. You know, people have this image that, you know, the Pope's controlling everything and that the bishops are bossing everyone around and so on. It's like, oh my gosh, if you're not going to kick out Andrew Cuomo, who would you kick out, you know? I mean, he's really, as you say, really quite flagrantly in violation of church teaching.
I want you to respond to the argument that I think may have held sway at the last minute with the legislature in New York from Governor Cuomo. This is directly from the New York Times piece. It's the way the piece ends. Bear with me as I read the last few paragraphs. Mr. Cuomo invited the Republicans to visit him at the governor's residence, a 40-room Victorian mansion overlooking the Hudson River, just a few blocks from the Capitol. There, in a speech the public would never hear, he offered his most direct and impassioned case for allowing gays to wed. Gay couples, he said, wanted recognition from the state that they were, in fact, equal from the lawmakers in the room. He said, quote, "Their love is worth the same as your love. Their partnership is worth the same as your partnership, and they are equal in your eyes to you. That is the driving issue." What do you make of that argument?
I think it's completely idiotic and completely off topic. You know, I mean, my love for my sister has absolutely no state recognition whatsoever and has absolutely no social significance whatsoever. My love for my best friend has no state recognition and no social significance whatsoever. What they are trying to say is, we want the state of New York to endorse our sexual activity. He's coming out and saying that that's what the issue is. And what if we don't want to endorse their sexual activity? What if we think that that's not only pointless but harmful? You know, so I think if he really said that, he should be ashamed of himself, because it's a completely nonsensical, idiotic statement. Not to put too fine a point on it.
There are many national public leaders who might think that being pro same-sex marriage is a winner nationally. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know where they think that's going to be true. I mean, they think, you know, the constituencies that favor it are the gay lobby and sort of the whole scope of the people who favor the sexual revolution. Your Planned Parenthood people and people like that. But an awful lot of people are fed up with the sexual revolution and all of its consequences. And the more you draw out the consequences, the less worthy this seems. And the more you get ethnic minorities and racial minorities to come and talk about the civil rights question, the less plausible the gay rights claim that marriage is a civil rights issue, the less plausible that seems. So I think it's very important that all of these constituencies that favor natural marriage, the the real, genuine, original Rainbow Coalition, it's very important that all of us stick together and continue to say that marriage is a civil rights issue, but not the way they think it is. Marriage is a civil rights issue and a social justice issue because every child deserves a mother and a father. And by saying that same-sex couples are equal to opposite-sex couples, what they're really saying is that not all children deserve and need a relationship with both of their parents, and not all children deserve and need to know who their parents are, and that we're replacing one kind of inequality with a much bigger and far more serious kind of inequality. And really, honestly, this society needs more man-woman couples married to each other, raising their own children. We do not need to deconstruct the institution of marriage further than we already have. And that's the real civil rights issue, as far as I'm concerned. And I think a lot of people are beginning to understand that. And the other thing is, Todd, the tactics, the political tactics that these people used and the brazenness of the way they're now talking about it as if it's a great victory. It was no great victory. It was a victory for Cuomo and his money and his strong-arming tactics. That's what it was a victory for. And if you remember, there were weeks and weeks where they were saying, well, a vote could happen any time now. A vote could happen tomorrow. No, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It might happen the next day. The reason they kept putting it off, Todd, is they didn't have the votes. They had to hang on and not take the vote until they were sure that they had persuaded, if you want to call it persuaded, that they had persuaded the requisite number of people to go along and raise their hand at the right time. But they, I don't think, have convinced a single soul in that whole debate. You know, there's an organization called TFP. I think they're called Tradition Family Property. And they put out a YouTube video that we found that shows their people standing on street corners in Long Island and Staten Island and Brooklyn holding big signs saying honk for traditional marriage. And you can see in the video and hear in the video people just laying on the horns, just loud, continuous honking in favor of traditional marriage in these sort of very ordinary neighborhoods of New York City. And they ask rhetorically in this video, where was the media? Where is the media in the face of these neighborhoods where the ordinary people of New York want marriage as the union of a man and a woman? And the politicians and the elites and the Wall Street people and the gay lobby with their big fat checkbooks, these people have run roughshod over the ordinary people of New York. And, you know, I think the next 2 years are going to be very interesting in New York politics. That's all I have to say.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You can check out the website and the blog for the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.